At Allina Health, we care about your health and wellness. Learn how Allina Health provides care that can benefit you in this edition of The Wellcast. Now here's your host, Melanie Cole.
We've all heard the adage, eating for two when you're pregnant, but is that really something we should be following? And another phrase we've heard about, the obesity epidemic in this country, but what does that mean for pregnant moms and women who are thinking about becoming pregnant? My guest today is Dr. Karen Hessel. She's an obstetrician gynecologist with Allina Health. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hessel. Is eating for two what we should be doing when we get pregnant? Is that really what we're supposed to be doing?
Thank you very much for that introduction. No, it is not. There's a lot of controversy and mixed messages about nutritional intake in pregnancy, as with all nutrition information in our culture. The Academy of Nutrition recommends somewhere between 2,200 calories and 2,900 calories a day, but I don't necessarily agree with these recommendations. Most American women are eating enough calories to support a pregnancy before they get pregnant. And it's important to kind of work with your doctor in order to figure out what you need to do for your specific nutritional status.
So where is that extra weight coming from as we're getting pregnant? And if we've eaten really the way that we were eating before we got pregnant is kind of the way you should continue when you're pregnant, then what is that weight that we're putting on?
Well, a lot of it is support for the pregnancy itself. You gain about 2 pounds worth of breast tissue. Your uterus actually increases its weight because it has to have more blood flow and more muscle in order to support a pregnancy. You increase your fluid volume and your blood volume, which equals another 4 or 5 pounds. So you have about 10 to 15 pounds of weight gain just related to creating the resources that you need to support a pregnancy. Then there's the amniotic fluid, which by the end of the pregnancy weighs a couple pounds. And then there's the baby, which on average is about 7.5 pounds. And then an average placental will weigh 1.5 pounds or so. You know, where these nutrients come from in order to create all this depends on the pre-pregnancy stores of energy. For people who are underweight, they need to get a lot of that from their diet. And for people who start out above where we'd want them to, some of that is going to come out of their own fat stores.
How much weight do you want us to gain when we're pregnant? I mean, if we're a thin person going in, do you want us to gain a little more weight than if we're a bit of a heavier person going in?
Absolutely. So people who are underweight, sometimes I recommend up to 40 pounds of weight gain. People who are more normal weight, somewhere in the 20 to 30 pounds. And then as you leave that weight, as your BMI goes above, say, 30, then the recommendations start to change dramatically. In the higher order BMIs, more than 50 in the 60s, often I recommend 5 to 10 pounds of weight loss. And that's why you really need to work closely with your doctor in order to figure out what is appropriate for you.
So weight loss, that's interesting. And with gestational diabetes and things that can happen if we do have really too much weight on, how does somebody go about maintaining their weight or not putting on too much, or even if they had to lose a little while they were pregnant?
Well, you know, interestingly, people who struggle with weight tend to have their own unique struggles. For some people, it's that they have problems with cravings. For other people, it's that their lifestyle makes it so it's very difficult to eat appropriately. For other people, it's that they really are very sedentary and they don't move around very much. And so in general, what I recommend is that people get at least 150 minutes a week of exercise when they're pregnant, and that they watch what they're eating and try and eat things that have lots of good proteins and good fats for building babies and a lot of nutritional content. So trying to avoid simple carbohydrates and processed foods.
Well, those are so important, to avoid those simple carbs and to avoid processed foods, you know, and to really look about healthy eating while you're pregnant is so important. But sometimes you throw caution to the wind and you get these cravings for weird things. Where do those cravings come from? Do they mean that, you know, we've heard pregnant women say they want to eat dirt. Does that mean that there's a nutrient deficiency going on there? Or are these cravings just something we don't know what they are?
You know, cravings and aversions in pregnancy are very, very common. Sometimes they can be indication of a nutritional deficiency and anemia, and so if you do have strong cravings, you should talk to your doctor about it. Other times we kind of postulate that there may be some protective effects of cravings and aversions, especially in the first trimester. It's one of those, you know, if you have cravings and you've been evaluated by your doctor and you still have them, as long as they're not for any non-food items or things that your doctor thinks are dangerous for you, I think it's fine to consume, you know, excess pickles if you feel a need to.
So, Dr. Hessel, please give the listeners your very best advice about eating while they're pregnant, healthy eating, and really what they can do to make this a very healthy pregnancy nutritionally. You mentioned 150 minutes of exercise a week, letting their bodies dictate what, you know, how they feel when they're exercising, but speak about really eating and weight gain and your very best advice about how we should eat when we're pregnant.
Well, most pregnant women do better if they eat many small meals. So generally, I recommend that you kind of break down your eating into probably five different times during the day. And also that they're planned, because there's nothing in a convenience store that you should eat. The fruit tends to be mealy. The nuts have too much salt. Probably the only thing would be like a chug of milk. So you kind of have to have things in your purse that are healthy. Nuts are very nice and portable. Fruits and vegetables. Generally, my recommendation for dietary advice is if you read the ingredients and an 8-year-old can't understand what it is, you shouldn't be eating it, because, you know, it should be flour, water, yeast, fruits, vegetables, things that are recognizable, not lots of chemicals. And I'm not, you know, we have a lot of things in our culture that have a lot of artificial sweeteners in them. I think that, you know, it's okay if you feel like, you know, I need to have my Diet Coke once a day. But, you know, but really, tons of artificial sweeteners are not necessarily good for us. They aren't really tested in pregnancy. And I really think that they should be avoided. You should try and eat real food.
Such good advice. Now, what about after the little baby is born? It's difficult to lose weight. What's your best advice about losing weight after the baby is born?
Well, you know, after the baby's born, in general, I think that if you can breastfeed, that is incredibly helpful. There's a lot of information about, you know, what the requirements are in order to be able to breastfeed effectively. And I think it's interesting, you know, they have these strong requirements. Oh, you can't calorie restrict. There's not a lot of research on it, but the research that there is says, you know, you really can calorie restrict down to like 1,500 calories a day without affecting breast milk supply. And, you know, the things that really seem to affect supply of breast milk tend to be sleep and hydration. So what I generally tell people is if you're breastfeeding, you should just pay attention to eating quality food, weigh yourself once a week, and if you stop losing weight before you're happy, as long as you have a normal relationship with your weight, some people don't have that, if you stop losing weight before you're happy, then you need to start paying attention to how much you're eating. For people who aren't breastfeeding, I think that one of the things that you need to acknowledge is that, you know, having a baby is very disruptive to sleep patterns. And it's also not conducive to self-care, like getting up and exercising and carving out time for yourself. And those are really important things to do. Chronic sleep deprivation is conducive to weight gain. And it's important as you're sort of creating your new life with your baby to find time to take care of yourself. And it becomes much more urgent in terms of dealing with weight issues for people who aren't breastfeeding as opposed to people who are, just because people who are breastfeeding, it kind of, they get to cheat a little bit with that extra 500 to 1,000 calories a day that they're burning when they're waking up in the middle of the night to nurse. And so there's two parts. There's, you know, you do have to monitor yourself, and then there's the issue of trying to create a new life with your baby where you take care of yourself, which is important because your child is going to need you when they're 40, and your choices that you make when your baby's born can determine whether or not you're there for them.
That is great advice and a great place to wrap. It's all about taking care of yourself during pregnancy, before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and certainly after, because if you don't take care of yourself, ladies, no one's going to do it for you. You're listening to the Wellcast with Alina Health. And for more information, you can go to alinahealth.org. That's alinahealth.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.